Lord, I ask that you would be with us today, that you would speak to us concerning our lives and our lives together as your people, but just our general living together as the people who receive Jesus. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine this morning. Her name is Chloe. And she is a beautiful woman. She's really only mentioned once in the Bible, but Chloe, I want you to see a person who is untouched by the walls that people build between themselves. Chloe shows us a spirit that says, I refuse to be walled off from other people. I'd like us to read together 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 17, which is where she is mentioned and her concerns. Here we go. I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no dissensions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brethren. What I mean is that each one of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Paul's obviously having some memory lapses in terms of who he baptized and who he didn't baptize. But anyway, I would like for us to read verse 11 again. Here we go. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brethren. Now, let me give you a kind of a setting for this scripture, because I think that's kind of important. It seems that while the Apostle Paul was in the city of Ephesus on the eastern side of the Aegean Sea, he received a letter from a woman which was brought to him by three men from the city of Corinth. The names of the three men are at the end of this letter to the Corinthians. Anyway, this letter to the Corinthians is in response to a message that came to him from a woman by the name of Chloe. Chloe's name is mentioned here, and the reason she has sent a message to Paul is that she is very concerned about the unity in the body of Christ in Corinth. And today I want to focus on the unity in the body of Christ and all of our diversity. And I'm not talking about just our church, but the many churches and denominations that are present in the body of Christ. Paul says here in this scripture, Chloe wrote me about the divisions, the arguments, the disunity among you. Now, I understand this. Chloe is not a gossip. She's not a busybody. Chloe didn't write Paul to say, you know, all these people down here, they are all nitpicking at each other, and we're having a great deal of division, and I wish you'd do something about it, because I'm just sick and tired of all this. She doesn't write Paul that way. She says, you know, Paul, I'm just sick and tired of all this. Did you know that so-and-so said this about so-and-so? Well, she's not that kind of woman. And the reason you can count on that is because the Apostle Paul probably would not have dignified that attitude by even making reference to her in this letter, if that had been her spirit. His mention of her indicates his respect for her, for who she is and her spirit. And she must have been a very good woman, and she is aching about the agonizing pain being against each other who are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And Paul writes, he says, now friends, it has been reported to me by those of the house of Chloe that there are contentions among you and divisions among you. Now the house of Chloe was probably not a family. The house of Chloe is probably like a house church. At that time, the place where believers gathered was in houses, and they didn't have anywhere else to go to worship and meet. And Chloe's house, apparently, is one of those places where they gathered. It's also possible that she may have been the leader of that particular home group church, you might say. She may have been pastor to that group of people. What's significant here is that she was a believer in Jesus Christ whose voice Paul would listen to. And she was concerned about people who loved Jesus but didn't seem to be loving each other. And her ache was so intense that she took time to see that a message was sent, and I'm sure at considerable expense. It probably would cost quite a bit to send a letter across the Aegean Sea by ship. But anyway, the message came, and Chloe sends word to Paul, "We're hurting and I'm aching over it." Now, there's something in my heart that is the same as the heart of Chloe. I am of the same spirit as Chloe. It's not because I have an emotional concern for unity in the body of Christ, but the Church of Jesus Christ really needs to get over, grow up, or get out of all the nitpicking smallness that of criticism that exists in the many churches and denominations in the body of Christ. We need to see past the differences in style or emphasis or modes of expression in worship. Now, the reason I am such a big advocate of the great banquet is because the banquet breaks down those barriers in the many and various churches. The great banquet is an expression of Chloe's spirit, which really is kind of my spirit too. Read with me Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 40. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us." Jesus said, if they are not against us, then they are for us. Jesus' disciples, I mean, you got to kind of take it out of stained glass and out of the Bible sometimes. Just kind of, they came to him one day and said, "Master, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name, but they don't follow with us." And you got to hear the words of those disciples. They were saying, you know, they are doing things you told us to do, but they don't do it our way. They don't do it our way. And you got to hear that. Of course, none of us have ever been guilty of that kind of thing, yeah, have we? They just don't do it our way. I tell you, one of the things that I wanted to accomplish in this community and through this church is to bring people together from the many different expressions of the body of Christ in unity. We actually accomplished that fairly well through the Great Banquet. But I want us to understand that there are different church families represented right here in our church. I want to take a couple of minutes here just to find out who's here. At first service, there were 25 people at that church service, and I had 6 different denominations represented just in 25 people. So let's hear from a few of you. Any Methodists here? Presbyterians? Catholics? Episcopalians? Well, you got to be able to spell it to go there. Assembly of God? Come on, somebody. Pentecostal? There you go. I know that we had a Church of Science, Christian Scientists, its first service. Who else? How many Baptist denominations are we representing here? Yeah, but how many are there? Let's see. Southern Baptists? American Baptists? General Baptists? Primitive Baptists? Progressive Primitive Baptists? Now, I've tried to figure out what some of these things are over the years. Any Mennonites here? Amish background? Lutheran? Well, that's Lex Luther, right? No, that's a different Lutheran. Disciples of Christ? United Church of Christ? Church of God? Anything else? Anyone? Anyone? Ferris Bueller? This is where we come from, just in this group right here. And I think that's interesting. I've discovered that usually it's really the blue bloods of any church denomination that are the problem in this stuff. We have so many different church backgrounds, families represented here. And churches and denominations are like families. They do things differently. But differently doesn't mean that one is better than the other, or that one is wrong and one is right. You know, there are things that we do here in this church that, and that's our family privilege. You go across town, go to First Presbyterian Church, they do things differently than we do here. There are ways that people do things at St. Paul's Lutheran Church out here, or Tabernacle Baptist, or Glad Tidings, or any of these churches. And it's their way of doing things. And there are ways of doing things. And so on and so forth. And that's fine and dandy, but don't ever let that come between us and them saying, well, they don't do it our way, and our way is God's way. Because the quickest way to absolutely destroy the life of God's work in any church that is done in a certain way at a certain time is to take an arrogant stand of some sort as if that is God's only way to do something. Let me tell you, church, there is only one thing that is confining about God's way, and that is that Jesus is the way. The only thing that is confining about God's way and the way we or anyone else do things is making sure that we are on the way moving with Jesus. There are distinct things that people do and different ministries in different churches and different ways of worship in various churches, but the key is Jesus. Jesus is the way, and if they are committed to Jesus, then they are in God's way. If they are committed, they and we are committed to loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we are in God's way. Jesus, the Savior who died for our sins and rose from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ who is coming again, that Lord Jesus who is the way. If we or any church follows him, they and we are in God's way and his will. There is not a lampstand way of doing it, or a Methodist way of doing it, or a Presbyterian way of doing it, or a Baptist way of doing it, or an Episcopal way of doing it, or a Disciples of Christ way of doing it, or a Church of God way of doing it, that's the only way to do it. Or any other way that I fail to mention here. Now we can say that there are ways that we do it, and that is right. But as soon as we are becoming something that builds a wall between us and other people who love Jesus, we have failed in something that is eternally significant and very significant to Jesus. That's one of the reasons why we sponsor the Great Banquet. That's why I'm such a big advocate of it, because it removes the walls that we are so prone to build between us and others in other churches and denominations. And I'm a firm believer in what I call cross-pollination. I learned a very important lesson when I lived in Western Kentucky. If there's too much inbreeding, it makes you stupid. Cross-pollination between churches is very good because it adds to the gene pool, you might say, and makes things stronger. This unity in the body of Christ was important to Chloe, and it is important to me, and that's the reason it's important to me is because it seems to be important to Jesus. Let me show you how important it is to Jesus. Just a few hours before Jesus was to be delivered up and crucified, he prayed a prayer, which has come to be called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. That night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed this prayer, which is recorded in the 17th chapter of John. And I would like for us to read verse 11 together. Here we go. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one. Say it with me. That they may be one. Down in verse 20 here. Read verse 20 and 21 with me. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Notice again, that they may all be one. This is the second time that he says it. He prays that they may be one. Read with me verse 22. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. Now you got to hear the prayer. The Lord Jesus prays on the night before he was crucified. Time after time he prays that they may be one. Say it with me. That they may be one. Now, church, Jesus has never sought out doctrinal, liturgical, or ritualistic agreement in his church. He has sought out a people who say, I love Jesus, who is the Son of God. He seeks people who will let the Holy Spirit of God fill their hearts enough that they can at least turn to other people who love Jesus and say, and I love you, and I respect your ways of doing things, and whatever distinctive or distinction or difference there may be, I am not going to let that build a wall between us. And friends, Chloe is the picture of a person who says, you're not going to build any walls when I'm around. And I want to say the same thing. You're not going to build any walls when I'm around. You see, I am on Chloe's side. But the good thing about being on Chloe's side is it's really not a side at all. If you know what I'm saying. It ends up being open to people that love Jesus. It is a bigness of heart. And there are many people in churches who are afraid to let that kind of love exist. I've heard it said, well, if you just let anything go, well, God knows what will happen. You may come up with some bizarre idea or doctrine, and we get so hung up in our narrow ways of seeing the world. Someone will say, well, they baptize by sprinkling. That's not right. Somebody else will say, well, they baptized by immersion. We don't need that. Somebody else will say, they baptize infants and children. That's not doctrinal. I mean, really, this stuff goes on all the time. Let me tell you, it goes on all the time. Let me really shake you up. It does not matter to me how you get baptized as long as you get baptized in the right spirit. For all I care, we can take you out in the parking lot right now and hose you down. And it will be valid if it is done in the right spirit. Some churches get criticized for being in great big buildings. Some get criticized for meeting in homes. Some churches and people get criticized for wearing makeup or using instruments in their worship services or raising their hands or clapping or being too formal or ritualistic. Can you hear it? And we all do it in some form. I mean, really, I tell you the truth. Can you hear God talking to a couple of his angels up there in heaven? Oh, what a swell program we've got going on down there. This is just great. I sometimes think that it's a miracle the Lord doesn't come down and call out from heaven and say, everybody just shut up. In fact, he may have said that. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. And that's a nice churchy way of saying shut up and pay attention. Read with me Luke chapter 9, verses well, there are two scriptures here, but they're linked together, but there's a few verses that are missing. So let's read it all together. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. I'm not sure that this is not, God said, shut up. Listen to Jesus. When Peter and James and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, they said to Jesus, Lord, it's good to be up here on the mountain with you. Let's just build a building. In fact, let's build three buildings. One for you and one for Elijah and one for Moses. And at that point, I tell you what, God did speak out. He said, shut up. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear him. And in a sense, God told those three to shut up and listen to Jesus. That message really actually still comes down to us today. And the Lord says to the church, quit building little separate institutions with no regard for anybody else. You can have all the buildings you want. You can have all the groups you want. Go ahead. It's okay. You can be Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist or Episcopalian or Lutheran or Church of God or Assembly of God or Pentecostal or Disciples of Christ or United Church of Christ or whatever. Just go ahead. It's okay. But quit fighting among yourselves and love one another and respect one another and get your eyes on my son Jesus and listen to him like Chloe listened to him. God says to each of us, love each other because all of you are so filled with imperfections anyway that it's a miracle you can get anywhere at all. You know, there's a lot that we can learn from Chloe. Chloe is one of those people you meet in church occasionally. Her spirit, though, needs to be in attendance in all of us in forms that we probably don't know. And let that kind of spirit be in me. She agonized over the divisions in the body of Christ. So I want to end with just reading verse 22 of John chapter 17 one more time. Verse 22, here we go. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one. Say it with me. That they may be one. That they may be one. That's who we are. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, I ask that we would join with you in your priestly prayer. That we would be united in our voice, looking to you for our salvation and for your lordship in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.